So what I want to get into now, I've shared kind of my testimony and how it led to where I'm at now. This is kind of a little more, a lot more detail actually of how I got the business, you know, up and running, and then what kind of like the day-to-day operations, how it works, how it, what it kind of looks like. Another beautiful shot of the flat state of Kansas there for you. So this is the space that it started out. It's, you might be able to see it all right, but it was, the space is like 19 feet by 13 feet, so it ends up around 200 square feet or so. So, you know, physically, like looking at it, I was like, well, there's enough room in here to move and put the stuff, you know, put my appliances and cabinets and all those things in and work around, you know, a big table in the middle to prep on. And I was like, well, that's enough room to move around and stuff. And so, and also enough counter space and just space in general. And so basically in that kind of a size area, I can cater for, because I do meal delivery, but I'm also available for caterings. And the biggest I've done is a wedding for like 125 people. And I was able to do that out of the kitchen in my home. The house kitchen is upstairs. This is, again, this is in the basement. To do this kind of work, provide food for the public, in the state of Kansas, you have to have a kitchen that is completely separate from the one where you do your personal home, you know, food prep in. So this one has, well, we'll go into those details here in a minute. So I got the space, you know, this is good. This is possible. Step one. Step two, you know, what's the regulations? What do I need to be able to have in this space to meet the Kansas regulations of, you know, food safety? So I got online and found out what is required. And actually, the state of Kansas, it's so amazing. I called and asked about it, and they, you know, the lady said, yeah, you know, we even do free consultation. So if you're interested in doing this, you know, invite us out and we can go through it together and tell us how you're going to do it, and we can let you know of things that you might not be thinking of, you know, as far as regulations and requirements that we need for, you know, our requirements. And so I was like, oh, well, that's great. Yeah, come on out. So we had a little consultation. And that's the thing. I was so, working in construction, I was nervous of inspectors and stuff like that because they're kind of like always out to get you. They want to find what's wrong. But with this, it was totally different. They wanted to help. They wanted everybody to be safe, but they want to help you. You know, they're not trying to shut you down or anything unless you're, you know, not following the rules. So if you got the space and you can physically get started with it, the next step from the state, then you got to look local, which was the city of Bel Air, which is the town that I live in, find out what their regulations were. It was easy. That was on the internet. Yes, they allow home-based businesses. So there's like, you know, most, the typical example is like home daycare, and they said like accountants will do work from their home. It's legitimate home-based businesses. So when I told them what I was going to do, you know, it was a little different, and there was a whole like 2 month process where I had to let the council know, and then they had to like end up voting on it based on, you know, at an official thing, official meeting. And before that, I had to prepare a letter for all the neighbors within like 500 feet of my house, their properties that touch mine, and deliver them letters and let them know what I intend to do and make sure that, you know, hey, if you've got something wrong with this problem, you need to come to the meeting and talk about it, type of thing. So all the neighbors knew what I was doing too. And I, one neighbor actually suggested, and I went the step further, and I went door to door with my family and handed out these letters that I had typed up and told them what I was doing and introduced myself and that type of thing. So making connections there as I go, and get to meet everybody. So that was really nice. I had to go about it that way because, the neighborhood that I live in, it's not a home, we don't have a homeowners association. So that was kind of one hurdle that we were able to, you know, be around anyway. We didn't have to deal with it. I don't know how that would work in a HOA, but yeah, I don't know. But we didn't have to mess with that. So everything was all clear. The day that I got, so I went to that council meeting and presented to the city council, and, you know, they took their vote, and oh, there was some kind of details with that was kind of funny that, you know, that worked out. But they voted and everybody approved it. And so it was on, and I had the biggest smile on my face. It was almost embarrassing. They were like, oh, well, look at the smile on that guy's face. But I was just so excited and so happy. So we got all clear, and it was time to start demolition. Again, this was the space. There's a couple more views of it. We had a walkout pit right there. So I got some nice, you know, sunlight that comes in, and it's, you know, naturally lit too. The family that lived there before had, there was two toilets. There was one on the right side there, and then this one used to be a toilet. They were doing computer classes in the basement of this home years ago. I think it was in like the 80s, I want to say. So they had a boys and a girls bathroom and a big double vanity. So I ended up moving this wall that you can see where the tile stops there, jackhammered up the floor, and my dad is a plumber, so we put in a P-trap in the drain in the floor so I could have a floor drain for my three-compartment sink, and then hacked off one part of the vanity, and so I still had one sink there, and then the other sink, we ran the drain over into the kitchen side, so I had a employee hand-washing sink. This is another requirement. So again, it was another one of those things that just kind of, it was there. God just worked this out already. Everything was all in place. It was a lot easier than it could have been. You can see where the cord is laying. That wall used to be there, but again, I moved it back, and that made the employee restroom. This is me. And then there was a shower back in there, and the inspector that was there, she was like, well, you need like a mop sink, you know, if you're, you know, when you mop the floor, you gotta have a place to dump the water. And she took a look at the shower, and she's like, oh, well, yeah, you can use that. That works too. And I was like, perfect. Another thing that's I didn't think about or didn't know, and it just was there and ready. Like I said, there was some sticky tile on the floor, so I peeled all that up and threw it all away and got this nice LVT vinyl flooring. You can shatter a big, heavy pitcher of glass on that floor, and it doesn't, ask me how I know, and it will not damage that floor. It's very, it's waterproof, very durable, exactly what you need for a kitchen, and I think it looks really nice. The vinyl flooring's come a long ways. Through the remodeling company that I worked with for a while, I had connections with a lot of suppliers that would supply like the flooring and those cabinets there. And they were able to advise me, you know, you want this kind. These are laminate covered so that they wipe down real easy and they're really durable because you're going to be putting heavy pots and, you know, and using them a lot. So I did that. The range hood up there, I was able to drill a hole in the side of the house and run a vent out there. I don't remember what size the fan is in that hood, but now I'm venting my the range, anything that's cooked on the range, to the outside. When you're boiling water and stuff, a lot of steam builds up, and if you're cooking that much volume, you have to have it vented out. There's just way too much humidity, and then the neighbor likes it too. He knows what I was doing, and so he was like, I was talking to him one day, and he's like, yeah, you know, I smell the food some days. He's like, it smells really good, and so that's kind of another bonus. So then we needed a three-compartment sink also was another thing, wash, rinse, and sanitize. So when I was working for the Garden Grill, Chef Miguel was using an accountant by the name, well, it doesn't matter, but he was using this accountant, and I knew about this, and I talked to him. I got in touch with this guy, and he was like, yeah, I'll do it for you, you know, to do, you know, taxes, and then he like does the month-to-month accounting type stuff, keeping track of my credit cards, or, you know, entering that all in and the register and everything. But he also, at that same time, when I met him, he was just closing down a restaurant that he had. And I told him, I was like, yeah, I'm still looking for a couple things. One of them's a three-compartment sink. And he's like, oh, well, I got this one. You need to check it out. Sure enough, it was exactly what I needed. Those things are kind of expensive. It was one of the major costs that was involved in this. And meeting him and doing that, I saved a ton of money on that. Another thing that God worked out, like I could say it over and over again. Yeah, so it required a demo, and the city knew what I was doing, so I had to get a permit, and I got a building permit, and you know, so it was everything's up to code with the city, and so right there at that point, I had this thing physically built. From we started demo like June ish, and by November, everything was set and ready to go for my grand opening. Was the Thanksgiving meal that I prepare, like a 12-piece Thanksgiving meal, mashed potatoes and sweet potatoes and gravy and veggie chicken and the whole meal. So that was my first day of cooking in that kitchen, and man, it was amazing. It went really well, but it was a lot of hard work. I get anxiety whenever Thanksgiving gets closer each year because it is my busiest day of the year. So at that point, you know, like the space is there, we're ready to go. The next step is, you know, you got to be organized with this. As far as like how people are going to find out about it, how are you going to keep track of these orders? How are you going to, you know, not just keep track of them, but also receive them? And what are you going to, you know, packaging and this and that. So I set up a website through, I think it's called Weebly. Maybe I'm pronouncing it wrong. Weebly. I built a website. It kind of tells the story, and then it's got a tab. You'll be able to find it. You can look for it later. GardenGrillMenu.com, and it has some pictures, some story, and it also has a tab that is the menu, and that is the menu that what I'm making. I cook Monday, Wednesday, and Friday each week for the most part, and I'm constantly changing it. We'll go into more detail about that in a bit, but. So that's where people go. They check it out, and it's always updated. Like, I'll post like 2 weeks worth of menus, and once we get close to the end, I'll post another 2 or 4 weeks or whatever. And it's actually it's up to date now, and I've got next week's menu up too. As for advertising, there's business cards. That's what I've done. There's business cards, and then Chef Miguel was so kind. This guy is like he's a brother. He had set up the Garden Grill Cafe website, or no, it was a Facebook page, and he turned it over to me as admin. So he gave control of that to me for me to use, and all the friends and contacts and likes and followers and stuff. All I did was change the profile picture, didn't say a word about this when I was about to do it, and right away people started asking, like, is something going on? What's going on? Do it, you know, the type of thing. And so it was really encouraging. I was like, all right, you know. And so then I finally shared what was going to happen, and a lot of people were really excited. And so that's one way. I got the word out through that. And then also, like I mentioned, the Czech wellness meetings that we do at the Three Angels Church, the Lunch and Learns, I told the people there. And then I also, at that time, I didn't have Facebook, but or a Facebook page of my own, but I had to get one so I could control the Garden Grill Facebook page. And so through there, I, you know, started getting in contact with family and friends and everybody. And so network really worked good. And then there's also a group in Wichita, the Wichita Vegan Foodies group, and all the vegans that are in Wichita kind of on there, and they share ideas and where to eat and type of thing. And so I mentioned it on there, and basically, not everybody knows still at this point, but enough people know that it's able to be supported, and I get enough orders for some items that I actually have to say that I'm sold out of because I just physically cannot make that much and get them out and get them delivered in a safe amount of time, and that's kind of a good problem to have. how to order is. Everything that we need to know is on the website, but my preferred method is just people just text me. They'll say like, yeah, you know, can you bring me 2 servings on Monday, you know, 1 on Wednesday and, you know, 2 on Friday type of thing. And I enter it in, and I email them back and like, yep, I got your order, you know, thank you. And then I enter it in a web sheet. So I learned how to use remodeling company, I ended up learning how to use Google Sheets, and I had lost track of spreadsheets like back in the high school days. So it was like a crash course, learned how to use spreadsheets, and I set up a spreadsheet that I can replicate, you know, I line it out with their name, their address, number of servings, you know, any notes and what side they want and how much they owe, how much they paid, and you know, all these, everything's all in there. And I print out a sheet each week or each day actually, and take it with me and, you know, note along as I go. And I've got my directions of like where they're living and all this. So that's how I keep all of that all straight. I also, like I mentioned, kind of, I started with the photography as a way to show the food, because with my business, unless you walk down my street, you can't smell the food. You can't, the word of mouth thing is really good. And that's really one of the major ways that I'm able to share. And it's like the best way, really. Because you can't, some of the things that the people say about the food, you just can't hide the enthusiasm. And so it's, when somebody else is really excited about your food and like the service and everything, somebody is really just apt to give it a try. So we've got it all organized, how we keep track of everything. And next it kind of moves into pricing. So Chef taught me that, so I got into photography and was taking good pictures of the food, like really nice pictures, and tried to learn about this, got a good camera, and started posting pictures of the food. This is kind of like a roundabout view of the kitchen here. The big prep table in the middle. Instead of a cutting board, I found a nice chopping block, butcher block. And there's the nice sink. And then kind of the Vitamix and the stand mixer, some good knives. That's kind of like I use that space mostly for like just extra room for prep and that type of thing. Sometimes I have to spread out the containers there too. So you can kind of have a feel for how the kitchen is. Nice LED lights, so it's plenty bright and that type of thing. It's a great place to work. So how to figure pricing. Chef taught me basically if you want to figure one-third of the cost needs to be, you know, kind of roundabout what it's going to actually cost to make that food, like how much, including the container, how much, you know, the sauce is going to cost you, you know, how much it costs to make on it. One-third is cost. One-third of it is going to be, you know, basically to cover your overhead, utilities, just overhead, really. And then the final third of it is basically going to work in to be your profit, what you make off of it. I want to say I should have looked into this, but I remember now there was something that Ellen White had said about pricing and something like this. But you might want to look into that. I think there's something there. So kind of finding out what it's going to cost, then basically multiply, you know, what it's going to cost to make that food and put it in containers, and multiply that by three, and you kind of have your number. Then it's also important to see what everybody else is doing. Compare your quality with, like the value, like what the value is. Like, you know, is it like quick, like food truck food, or is it real like more nice, like a sit down meal type food? And then if that's, you know, see where you fit in there, and then see what those people are charging for that. And you want to be competitive, and make it to where, you know, it's still affordable. And then also keeping in mind like who your clientele is. So once you have those numbers figured out, basically you need to know where to get the supplies and stuff. Like, I didn't want to be like shopping all over town, like trying to find five different places. So basically a lot of my ingredients come from Walmart, Natural Grocers, the health foods. Do they have those here? Natural Grocers. Costco is awesome. And the Asian markets. We have a lot of Asian markets in Wichita, and there's two of them that are really amazing. One is huge. It's like the Walmart of Asian markets. I get a lot of spices from there, some of the produce. Tofu, of course, is really a good price there. Fresh herbs. And then just some really interesting products, things that you wouldn't come across. And that's the key to it, is if you can get flavors infused into your food that are unusual or unordinary, but in a good way, people get hooked on it, and it's unique and grabs their attention. So you've got the ingredients, and you need to know what to put that food in, because you got to get it out the door. So for containers, it's a funny thing. the ones that Veg and Out are using here, the big one and the smaller one right there. Do you want to hold those up? No, the next ones? The plastic ones with the yellow and the blue? Yeah. That's more or less what I do. Like the small one is like I'll do like a side salad in it, and then an entree will go in that larger one. For example, like a slice of lasagna and a side salad, or you know, a couple manicotti, or you know, whatever it may be, goes in the entree one. So they get an entree and a side. A lot of times the side is like it's either a soup or a salad. I usually try to give them an option like that, and so they get a nice soup from scratch and the entree. So from there, another portion of it is delivering in the city and how much to charge for it. And I kind of did a little bit of the math and figured in a delivery charge for like the dot there, North Woodlawn. That's where we live in Wichita. And so, you know, that's close. I'll deliver for $1. And it basically, I work it out to round trip for every 10 miles I have to drive. It's like $1. And a lot of people like that because it keeps it, it's affordable. And no matter if I deliver to, you know, five people over in the $2 to $3 range, everybody has to pay that, because if they weren't, you know, if they were the only ones ordering, you know, it'd be too hard to say, well, I'm going to be in that area, so it's only two this time, but next week I'm not. So it's flat like that all the way around. And that's on my website as well. So it's up front. Everybody can know, you can kind of guesstimate how much it's going to cost. It's delivery only. That's one of the stipulations built in with the city, since to keep traffic down, you can't come to the house and pick up unless you're my friend. And I do work that a little bit. So that's where the delivery is. Then, containers. So like I said, those are the containers, and I'll get those on Amazon is a good place. There's some companies that just sell containers. The prices are kind of iffy on those. Amazon seems really reliable. And then there's also a place in town called American Fun Food. And they basically sell containers and stuff like that to hot dog carts and movie theaters and things like that. You know, it's hot dog things. And you can rent candy, cotton candy machines. And they do all this. It's a pretty big company. And I get a lot of stuff from them too. And again, as I'm going to visit like all these places, like I'm becoming friends with the people, the family that owns the Asian market, and you know, visit with them and bring them food from time to time. You know, visit with the guy that I'm waiting for at the American Fun Food and talk to him about his family, and you know, just get to know these people, even if they're not, you know, they're not customers. Then you can surprise them every once in a while with a food, you know, something to eat or a dessert or something. The young man at the Asian market loves cinnamon rolls, and so I surprised him with one time, and he really liked that. Then there's the whole, this is something that's come up recently too, is the whole compostable versus not compostable containers. The compostable ones cost a little bit more, but you need to keep costs down. But the ones that I do use are all recyclable, so there's that. So, you know, that's kind of an option, kind of a thing that people are torn about right now. But that's just what I do with it. That's the delivery zone. And that's one of the things, too. If somebody orders and the total is like $40 or more, I go ahead and deliver it for free. Wow, that's really up and close. There we go. Mac and cheese. I used orecchiette pasta on that one. That was always trying to find different... Even if it's something as simple as using a different type of pasta than somebody would expect, it you know makes the meals unique and your own. It's basically an almond joy. It's chocolate almond coconut cookies. Those have been a real hit. I did pho. And we got a few more here. Pizza. I think there's about six or eight different types of pizza that I do. This one happens to be the Greek pizza. And again, everything I do is completely from scratch, and you can taste that in the food. When it's all that fresh, people notice it, and it makes a huge difference. A lot, you know, many restaurants don't. And so when you're delivering delicious meals like that, that's one of the other components besides the spices that I was talking about. when everything's all fresh from scratch, handmade, homemade. Everybody knows homemade is better. Another one that's been really popular, the Lord just gave me this idea, pot pies, vegetarian, vegan pot pies, all from scratch. I got a wild idea for Valentine's one day and did ravioli, mushroom and leek ravioli, making the pasta from scratch. That was really hard and challenging. I limited it, but I should have limited it even lower. Ravioli takes a long time to make if you've ever made it. This is a new one, the jackfruit shawarma hummus bowl. I use jackfruit from time to time. A lot of people really like it. And you can season it with anything, whether it's barbecue or Greek seasoning, or like this shawarma seasoning with Bubby's pickles, a hummus that's straight from scratch. I made the pita, and then there is an awesome tahini sauce that goes with it. Oh, man. And then, okay, so maybe somebody can help me out. The green sauce is it Zug? It's kind of a Mediterranean green sauce made with mostly jalapenos, seedless, and cilantro. And some garlic, so it's got a little bit of a kick to it. That whole thing has just been delicious. Again, here's another shot of Wichita downtown. The way it works is, since I live on the east side, I handle, like, some of my customers, they know that they can get the meal for lunch and, you know, deliver to them by lunchtime, and that's kind of being, you know, generous. Like, the last one usually gets it before 1 o'clock, but probably try to make it no later than 1 o'clock. So they can have it for lunch, and then the rest of the deliveries are people that probably are going to eat it for dinner, or they don't care when they eat lunch, or that type of thing. So that's kind of how I work it. And as I leave my house, I start on the east side of Wichita, and then deliver the people that are going to get it for lunch, and then I get to downtown, which is like the middle. That's where the last lunch delivery is. And then I've got some other customers on the west side, and their, you know, lunch delivery is over. So I get out and deliver those. And as I come back to the east side across town, anybody that's on that side of town or in that area that wants it for later, I can catch them on the way back, you know, to make to be efficient about it, and constantly using the Google Maps to find the quickest route. And, you know, because it's a game. Like, you got to get that food there, and you want to, you know, because the quicker you get it done, the quicker you're done, you can go home and clean up and that type of thing. So that's the city. Some of the other costs that are involved in it, with this type of business, like, it's amazing. Like, the overhead is really low. And when you're doing a business, like a storefront type of thing, where you have to rent the space, those bills just roll and roll no matter what happens, no matter if you're sick or whatever, the bills have to be paid. And, you know, like, the rent space and the utilities and all this, where with this, the overhead's a lot lower, so I can, you know, it's able to work in to where if I need some time off or whatever, you know, you can kind of take vacation when you need to. Like, you know, this example, a lot of opportunities have come up where I've been able to do this just because of the flexibility of this business. But there are still costs. I have an accountant, like I mentioned. I enter the stuff in the checking account. He's there for, the way that I pay for everything, I have a credit card from Costco, and it has, we qualified for the cash back on it. I don't know if everybody's known about this, but even if you don't have a business, take advantage of those cash back credit cards. If your credit is good, keep building your credit, make it good. But whenever however much you spend, 2% of that is put back into your, you know, on the side as cash. So the business is spending this money and building up cash as the year goes along too. So, you know, why not take advantage of that? So everything gets put on a credit card, and then each month, of course, it gets paid off. You have to pay it off. It's very important. Do not get into debt. Pay it off. So the accounting, everything is put on the credit card. And then one of the other stipulations that there's with the state, you have to have pest control. So I have a bug guy. He comes when the season is bug season, like now just started. He will come once every couple months, I think, and he sprays. And if there's more, you know, if I see bugs, I holler at him, and he comes and, you know, treats them. There was a bunch of ants one day that were, you know, making their way in, and he came and annihilated them. he's really good. The utility is basically the business will write a check to my wife and I personally, and it's a reimbursement of the utilities that are being used, like water and gas and this. So we usually do like $300 a month for that, to reimburse us for that. Licensing, the city charges like $50 a year to be licensed, and you have to renew it. I just renewed it. The state, however, is $250 each year, and that will come with that health inspection where they come in, and it's the most nerve-wracking day the second most nerve-wracking day of the year, where they watch you cook and you're trying to get out the door quick and making sure everything is just so, and somebody's watching over you, but it all works out right. So I'll run through a typical day real quick. So we post the menu on the website. Maybe I'll advertise for it on Facebook and say, hey, you know, we're doing jackfruit shawarma hummus bowl tomorrow. The cutoff is 4 p.m. the day before that I cook. Then there's, it's cut off, no more orders, and I'm able to go shopping at that point. I make that order sheet that, is ready to receive those orders that are all posted on the menu. So as soon as they start coming in, I don't get swamped with all these orders. I can enter them in as I go. And the cool thing about that Google Sheets, I use it on the desktop at home, but also on my phone. So if I'm out and I get that text and I'm, hanging out for a minute, I can quick enter it in the Google Sheets through my phone. Using technology to your advantage as much as possible is definitely that's what it's there for. So a lot of people use it to your advantage. So then we take those orders and get them all entered in and make sure everything's all straight with it and figure out how much they're going to owe and this and that. And then after that, you have to like organize a route, like the most efficient, like I was talking about, west side or the east side to the west side and then back. So all the orders are in, it's cut off, time to go grocery shopping. And again, with that, try to make it the most efficient as you can. If I have to go out and pick up the boys, I might leave in the afternoon, go make a couple stops, to pick up groceries, go grab the boys and then come home, trying to maximize your time as much as you can, has been a really big thing. Time management. So you got the groceries. Next, you always have to like keep an eye on the containers, make sure you don't run out, or when you have time, maybe look for there's something better. Not everything goes into that. Like I'll do vegan sushi, and so I have little bento boxes that you plate it just like you would get at a sushi place, a smear of wasabi and a little spot of the pickled ginger and the sushi. Sometimes for fun, if I do fried rice, I'll get the Chinese takeout boxes. That's always kind of a fun one. Anything like that. So we got to make sure we got the containers. And then the day before, basically just, prep as much as you can. Again, you want it to be fresh, so I try. There's the whole issue of you don't want to cook anything, because once you cook it, then the next day you maybe have to warm it up again, and then it's going to cool again probably, and then the customer will have to warm it up. So saving all the cooking for the very last, like that actual day, you don't want to reheat. The food should not be reheated like 3 times. So I make it and reheat it, and then they are heated up, and then they, once they get it, they reheat it to eat it later. So doing as much prep as I can. Sometimes I'll make the dressings and put them in containers the night before, make the sauces, anything you can do to get ahead. So then it's time, it's the day, it's ready to cook. My wife and the boys, we all get up and get the boys ready. My wife takes them to daycare and she goes to work, and I head downstairs, and it's on from there. From 7 o'clock till about 11, I am cooking and, towards the end, wrapping up, packaging it. And I go to deliver, leave the house about 11:30, and I'm out delivering for about till about 3 p.m. typically. You've got that food safety window, so you kind of have to make sure, again, don't take too many orders so that you can get the food delivered safely. Another way to maximize time is while you're out, pick up any groceries maybe that you might know you need the next day. And yeah, that pretty much sums up how it goes from day to day. There's other details with a business like this, but tax exemption for, since I'm reselling the food, and then keeping in touch with my accountant to see how much money is going to be needed to pay that sales tax quarterly as the things, so you make sure you have enough set aside and you're prepared for that. You know, so to kind of close it up, that really summarizes it. It seems like a lot of parts, and it got this way, and got. I had a lot of it in place as I kind of knew how I was going to do it as I started, but as a couple years went on, everything got kind of fine tuned, and I learned tricks and, you know, just how to make the best of it and make it even more smooth and efficient. Like I said, it's just me. I'm a one man show. I'm the chef. I go shopping and I do the cleaning and all these things. So it's definitely possible. It's a lot of work, but, like I said, it's totally worth it. So, I guess that pretty much wraps it up. And I'll be doing a demo later. Like I said, it's going to be one of the things that I first ate at DeSozo. It's one of the first vegetarian meals that I ever bought when I went out to eat. So be looking forward to that.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.